Very wonderful to see so many saints gathered here this morning.
Amen.
From so many different places. This shows that there's a feeling in the body.
Amen.
And so we're here today to enjoy a fresh new beginning with the church in Hamilton.
Amen.
And so this morning we were going to have some fellowship concerning the Lord's table. Then there will be a kind of a, well, we will have the Lord's table. Praise the Lord. And then there will be some declaration by the brothers, and then there will be a lunch. And then after the lunch, we will have something on the oneness of the body of Christ.
Amen.
So we will begin here our sharing. And the outline that you have called the Lord's Table Meeting is actually from two lessons in the basic lessons on service. So this is something very basic. But on the other hand, it's good to be refreshed with what the Lord's table is concerning. And so we would have a fresh appreciation of the Lord's table.
Amen.
So the outline is basically a combination of lesson two and three. And in lesson one, it has a few things that may be helpful for us. And that is that our meeting is a service, not a Sunday morning service, but a service in the way of a New Testament ministry.
Right.
And actually, the word service means ministry. And ministry is to minister into one another something of the Lord. So when we talk about service, we should not just consider cleaning or something of that effect, but our real service is the service of the meeting, the ministry in the meeting. And so service is ministry. So Christians, when we come together, we should consider that to meet is to serve. This is our service. If you have not come together with the saints to meet, you have never begun your ministry. So the first time you attended the church meeting, that was the beginning of your service. And this is because in the meetings, we render our worship to God, and this is a service. And the crucial thing in the meetings is that we offer Christ to God.
Amen.
Okay. He gave us, when we became believers, he gave us a gift, and that is his son, and we are to offer him to God.
Amen.
So this is the main item of our service. So we should consider that when we come to a church meeting, to offer Christ to God is our top service.
Amen.
So the more we realize this, the better. Okay. Here is a little point here. It says most Christians have the concept that to come to the meeting is to receive the help. Well, we surely receive the help. But we may not have the sensation, the consideration, or the concept that we need to minister Christ to others. You know, in the Old Testament, it was absolutely a deficiency to come to a meeting without ministering Christ to others. So we should not appear before the Lord empty-handed. So when we begin to talk about the Lord's table, we have to realize that this is a testimony of our daily life. We have to be ones that labor on Christ, and then our Lord's table meeting would not be a shell, but it would be full of the spirit of reality. Okay? So we have to learn to meet into the Lord's name. Every time we come together, we drop everything at the door, and we enter into the Lord and drop our own person and be gathered into the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And this is through the exercise of our spirit and also with the labor on Christ that we have been enjoying during the week.
Amen.
So this experience becomes the basis of the Lord's table.
Amen.
Okay. Now, I think we need to maybe read a few verses basically on the truth of the Lord's table. How about if we read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 through 25. Let's read verse 20 as well. 1 Corinthians 11, 20. When therefore you come together in the same place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Okay, this was a negative background in the Corinthians. They were not coming together in a proper way. But praise the Lord, when we gather together to have the Lord's table, we also have the Lord's Supper. Okay, and verse 23 through 26. For I received from the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus,
in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and having given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is given for you. This do unto the remembrance of me. Similarly, also the cup, after they had dined, saying, This cup is the new covenant established in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, unto the remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you declare the Lord's death until he comes.
Yeah. So these sets of verses was from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And first, in verse 20, we read concerning the Lord's Supper. Then, associated with the Lord's Supper, we read also these verses where it says twice, This do unto the remembrance of me. Yeah. So, associated with the Lord's Supper is the remembrance of the Lord. And we'll have more to say about this. Now, let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 16 to 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 16 to 17. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the fellowship of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the fellowship of the body of Christ? Seeing that there is one bread,
we who are many
are one body,
for we all partake of the one bread.
Amen. So in chapter 10, it also mentions the Lord's table versus the table of demons. And then it mentions these verses. So associated with the Lord's table is the fellowship of the blood of Christ and the fellowship of the body of Christ.
Amen.
So in chapter 10, we see the matter of the Lord's table, and it's associated with fellowship.
Amen.
Fellowship with the Lord and fellowship with one another.
Amen.
Whereas in chapter 11, it's concerning the Lord's Supper and it's concerning the remembrance of the Lord. Okay, one more set of verses. Matthew 26, 27 to 30. And he took a cup and gave thanks, and he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you.
For this is my blood of the covenant, which is being poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins.
I say to you, I shall by no means
drink of this product of the vine
from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in the kingdom of my Father. And after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Okay. How about we also read the focus of this, on this outline? The real remembrance of the Lord is to receive and enjoy Him as our life supply by eating and drinking Him and by sharing Him
one with another
in the fellowship of His body. Amen. So the Lord's table meeting is a meeting of the church, as opposed to a meeting of the work. So the characteristic of a meeting of the church is one in mutuality. Okay? Like the prophesying meeting, the prayer meeting, the Lord's table meeting. And the Lord's table meeting is the most important meeting of the church. Sometimes we need to remember this. The Lord's table meeting is the most important meeting of the church.
Amen.
So here on the outline, it says on the first day of the week, the Lord's day. You know, in Acts 2, they practiced having the table from house to house and day by day. That was in the beginning. Then in Acts 20, we see that, you know, Paul, you know, he went to Troas, and he said, in Troas, where we spent 7 days, and on the first day of the week, when we gathered together to break bread. That shows that they had 7 days, and then on the eighth day, the day of resurrection, they had the Lord's table. So by this time, the Lord's table was once a week. Okay? And then in 1 Corinthians 16:2, it tells us on the first day of the week, each one of you should lay aside and store to himself whatever he may have been prospered, that no collections be made when I come. So here it's talking about offering, proving again that they met on the first day of the week. And of course, so many people, even believers, call this day today Sunday. Okay, but Sunday is a pagan word. It is really nothing to do with what we are enjoying of the Lord's table. So really, the first day of the week should be called the Lord's Day.
Amen.
So in Revelation 1:10, John was in spirit on the Lord's Day.
Amen.
So we should be in spirit on the Lord's Day.
Amen.
Okay. Then in B, it says to partake of the Lord's table. And this is based on 1 Corinthians 10:21b. You cannot drink of the Lord's cup and the demon's cup. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the demon's table. So this is concerning the Lord's table. And as we read in chapter 10, the stress of the Lord's table is the fellowship of Christ and his body. And this is the horizontal aspect. So when we talk about the Lord's table and the Lord's supper, it may be a little confusing, and we do not have two sections, one for the Lord's table and one for the Lord's supper. We have a section for the worship of the Father, but we have what we call the Lord's table because the Lord's table includes the Lord's Supper.
Amen.
So when we're talking about the Lord's table, the stress is fellowship, and this fellowship is the horizontal aspect. But when we talk about the Lord's Supper, this is the vertical aspect of the Lord's table, and that part is for the Lord's enjoyment and satisfaction.
Amen.
And the Lord's table is for our participation, enjoyment, and fellowship. So we have to have a realization when we're together at the Lord's table, there is also the need for the Lord to be satisfied.
Amen.
We are not just gathering here for ourselves, but we're here that the Lord himself may have satisfaction.
Amen.
Okay. So, you know, this is not to be confused to have two sections. It's concerning the horizontal aspect and the vertical aspect. Okay, B is to remember the Lord. In remembering the Lord, we remember not his death, but the Lord himself. And this is the central point of the Lord's table meeting.
Yeah.
So we read in chapter 11, that says, this do unto the remembrance of me. Okay. This is the remembrance of the Lord, not of his death or anything else, but the remembrance of him himself.
Amen.
And it might be good just to read a footnote on this word, remembrance. Sorry, I kind of misplaced it here. Anyway, I lost it. Maybe you can find it. But remembrance really means that as we participate, it says this do, you know, eat. You partake of the bread, you partake of the cup, and then you take something of the Lord into you, and you participate in him by digesting him, by assimilating him, and that is the real remembrance of the Lord.
Amen.
Okay. So here it says, oh, it's the footnote for 1 Corinthians 11:24, verse 2. 25:2. How about we read that together? The real remembrance of the Lord is to eat the bread and drink the cup. That is to participate in, to enjoy the Lord, who has given himself to us through his redeeming death. To eat the bread and drink the cup is to take in the redeeming Lord as our portion, as our life and blessing. This is to remember him in a genuine way. Amen. So remembrance is not something merely in the mind, but it is a partaking of the Lord himself. So here it says, the focus of the Lord's table, all the hymns, praises, thanks, testimonies, and words should be concentrated on the Lord himself.
Amen.
So the Lord's table is not the time to call a hymn on spiritual warfare or to somebody to give a testimony about how they were rescued from suffering or for someone to share their favorite verse, but it is to remember the Lord himself.
Amen.
So this is the focus of the Lord's table meeting, and all kinds of distractions should be avoided. And then it says we remember the Lord by breaking the bread, by eating the cup, eating the bread, and drinking the cup. Okay, so there are three matters here. Breaking the bread, eating the bread, and drinking the cup. Notice it says, it doesn't say eating the plate, but it says drinking the cup. So later on, maybe we should talk about this. Okay. By breaking the bread to apprehend with appreciation and thanks the Lord's physical body being broken for us. You know, in Luke 22:19, it says, and he took a loaf and gave thanks, and he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is being given for you. This do in the remembrance of me.
Amen.
So when we talk about the aspect of breaking the bread is a matter of the Lord's physical body. So in this aspect, the bread on the table signifies the Lord's body who was broken for us. And then it says, by eating the bread. Now, with eating the bread, it's a matter of enjoying the Lord as our life supply.
Yeah.
It has here John 6:35a. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall by no means hunger. So the breaking of the bread, it doesn't imply any enjoyment, but eating the bread surely implies an enjoyment.
Amen.
Then it is to testify that we live by the Lord. In John 6:57, I think we're all familiar with this verse. As the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he shall also live because of me. So by eating the bread, we indicate that we both enjoy the Lord and we live by the Lord. So there is an aspect to the, there's actually two aspects to the bread. One is that it is a matter of life. I don't know if we had this thought. We realize the bread as one loaf signifies the body of Christ. On the other hand, the bread is him as our nourishment. So he becoming our nourishment is also something in the body of Christ. So it is to have fellowship also in Christ's mystical body. So, you know, when the bread is concerning life, it's more related to the Lord's Supper. It's from him directly to us, but it's also the matter of corporateness, the mystical body, meaning related to our attending the Lord's table. I don't know. This might be all confusing to remember. Okay. So it's to have fellowship, see, in Christ's mystical body. So the breaking of the bread signifies the physical body of the Lord, but eating the bread mainly implies the fellowship in the mystical body of Christ. Amen. You know, in John 12:24, he was the one grain of wheat that fell into the ground and died, and he produced us as the many grains of wheat, and now we are blended together in one loaf to enjoy the Lord.
Amen.
Then we have the matter of drinking the cup. Okay. And this is to review the redemption of the new covenant. Amen. According to Matthew 25, it says, "This is the blood of the covenant, which is being poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins."
Amen.
So, with the cup, it's a matter of receiving God's blessing. So the bread is the bread of life, and the cup is the cup of blessing.
Amen.
Now here, there's something in these outlines on the Lord's table. So in the scriptures, what is the meaning of the cup? In the scriptures, the wine is called the cup. The bread, however, is not called the plate. Okay. Why then does the Bible call the wine by its container? Okay, this is a question for you. Okay, the cup signifies the portion. Okay. In the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians 10:16, this new cup is called the cup of blessing. In the Old Testament, it was called the cup of salvation. So in the Lord's table meeting, we should consider the Lord and what he did for us, not only when we receive the bread, which we break, but also when we see or receive the cup, which we drink. What is the cup of blessing? The blood of Christ is signified by the fruit of the vine within the cup, but the portion is not the blood. The blood is the essence of Christ, but the Lord is the portion of the cup. Okay, is this clear? Man, so we need to, you know, consider this thing. It's always good to review what we do at the Lord's table.
Amen.
So anyway, we're concentrating on the wonderful blessing, the new covenant that the Lord has given to us. So the cup indicates a portion which, if we're on the negative side, it could be a cup of wrath. But here, the portion is our cup, and it's the blessing that we had lost through Adam's fall. Through Adam's fall, we entered into a kind of a very negative situation. But praise the Lord for this blessing, this cup.
Amen.
And we have redemption, and we have the access to him in organic salvation.
Amen.
So in number 4C, it's to have the fellowship in the blood of Christ. Both eating and drinking indicate the oneness and the fellowship. This is why there's only one loaf, not many loaves, and only one cup, not many cups on the table. So the other aspect about the mystical body of Christ is that this demonstrates that we are one body.
Amen.
That there is one body in this universe, and we are part of it. We are members of this one body of Christ. Hallelujah. So today, this morning, is a demonstration that we are all in one body and in one fellowship.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
How about let's enjoy that focus again and your outline.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. The real remembrance of the Lord is to receive and enjoy him as our life supply by eating and drinking him. by sharing him one with another in the fellowship of his body.
This morning, we just come here with our hearts full of thanksgiving.
Amen.
We've been waiting for this day concerning a fresh and new beginning for the Lord's testimony here in Hamilton.
Amen.
And I just appreciate how we could have a time just to review concerning the significance of the Lord's table. Some of us have been here in the Lord's recovery for many years. But this morning, I also noticed that some of us have been so new in the Lord's recovery. Our brother Lee and brother Nee reminded us that even once a year, at the very least, it would be good to bring the whole church into a review concerning the Lord's table.
Amen.
And all of its significances. You know, we are men of a forgetful mind. If you're like me, getting older year by year, how much we need to be reminded concerning the Lord's table. This is what we do the first day of every week. And we should pray that we will not be brought into a kind of a routine, but that we would truly appreciate the real significance of the Lord's table. I just appreciate what our brother shared concerning the cup of blessing. The Lord drank the cup of wrath for us. But praise the Lord, we are a people who are here drinking the cup of blessing. This morning, isn't that what we are doing? I just appreciate the Lord so much concerning everything that He has accomplished for us. Now, let's continue for the sake of time to Roman numeral 5. The Lord's table, here we are displaying the Lord's death.
Amen.
And here we need to go back to the scripture. Let's open your Bible. In fact, you should leave it open, okay, because everything we share is based on the Word of God.
Amen.
So let's come back to 1 Corinthians 11:26, and let me read it to you. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, we declare the Lord's death until He comes. Now, I want you to be reminded of just a few things in this one verse. Here, in the first part, it says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup. The Lord's table, even though corporately we come together once a week, and on the Lord's Day, which is the first day of the week, to have the table. But the real significance of the table is that every day we need to remember the Lord.
Amen.
By eating Him and drinking of Him.
Amen.
By exercising our spirit.
Amen.
To contact the Lord.
Amen.
If we do this in our daily life, we are actually remembering Him through our daily living. Then here it also says, the Apostle Paul tells the Corinthians that we are here declaring the Lord's death. We are here to proclaim, to display the Lord's death. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you declare the Lord's death. Here we have the bread signifying the Lord's body. So in a few minutes, we will have the table here. And on the table, we will have the bread and we will have the cup. Okay? The bread and the cup are separate. That shows that the blood of Christ was separated from the body of Christ. So this separation simply means the death of Christ. So, on the Lord's table, His death is displayed because the cup is separated from the bread. That is, the blood is separated from the body. We eat the bread and we drink the cup to display the Lord's death because whenever the blood is separate from the body, that is death. We do not remember the Lord's death. We display the Lord's death. Not only to ourselves, but also to the principalities that Christ died for us on the cross. And his death on the cross accomplished the redemption of God for all of mankind. Okay, then we go to Roman numeral 6 to express our Lord's our desire of the Lord's coming back. Here it says in verse 26, the last three words, we do this, meaning we eat him, we drink of him, we partake of the bread and the wine until he comes back. Okay? And this is meaning to say that the Lord's first coming was to accomplish God's redemption for all of mankind. But the second coming of Christ will be to bring in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
While we display the Lord's death, we express our desire of the Lord's second coming. Come, Lord Jesus. This is how the entire Bible ends. In Matthew 26, verse 29, the Lord said, I shall by no means drink of this product of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in the kingdom of my Father.
Amen.
This is the manifestation of the kingdom of heavens.
Amen.
One day the kingdom of Christ will come.
Amen.
In which the Lord will drink with us after his coming back.
Amen.
So when we remember the Lord and display his death, we express our desire for the Lord's coming back.
Amen.
That's why many times in the Lord's table meeting towards the end, we will sing a hymn concerning his coming back. And I tell you, when the table meeting is so high and so sweet and so dear, oh, we would feel so close to the Lord's coming. Right? Do you have that experience, saints? And this is why we need to do this once a week, at least once a week, to remind us that the Lord is coming back soon. And we need to live under the appearance of his coming back. Okay. Then, in Roman numeral 7, it tells us that we need to worship the Father. There are two sections to the table meeting. The first section is the Lord's table, which included the Lord's Supper. The second section is to worship the Father. Now, this is based on Matthew 26, verse 30. You know, after all of this, meaning after what the Lord did, the Lord lead us to worship the Father. This is based on Matthew 26, verse 30, which says that after the Lord finished his supper with his disciples, he and his disciples sang a hymn. Isn't that wonderful? I thought I liked to sing hymns, but the Lord and the disciples, they like to sing a hymn. You know, that hymn was sung by the Lord with his disciples to the Father. In the Lord's table, the Lord takes the lead to praise the Father, to worship the Father. At the end of the Lord's table meeting, we need to worship the Father with the Lord. He is the firstborn Son of God, and we are the many-born. He is our big brother, and we are the many brothers. So he is the one leading us. Through him, we have access to the Father.
Amen.
We must follow the firstborn Son to worship the Father as his brothers.
Amen.
The Lord, as the firstborn Son, takes the lead to worship the Father.
Amen.
And this is in Hebrews 2:12. We don't have time to go into that verse. Maybe you can write it down. Hebrews 2:12. Okay. And here, I'd like to share with you a hymn. In our hymnal, hymn 52. This is a very good hymn on the worship of the Father. Maybe you can open it up. You know, and particularly in verse 2. Maybe we can read it together. Huh? How deep the holy joy that fills the scene where love is known. Thy love, our God and Father, now is seen in him alone. As in the holy calm of thine own rest, he leads the praise of those thy love has blessed.
Amen.
We are those whom his love has blessed.
Amen.
How about let's read verse 3 together. He leads the praise. How precious to thine ear the song he sings. How precious to thee, how near, how dear are those he brings to share his place. 'Twas thus thou didst plan. Thou lovest him before the world began. You know, this hymn, even though it's short, it's simple, yet high in its thought, and it's full of light.
Yeah.
It was the Lord leading us to worship the Father.
Amen.
Okay, then after this, in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul gave us a word of warning. You know, the Holy Word is always so balanced. You know, we are brought to such an excitement, to such a desire to enjoy, to eat the Lord. But then we need to also pay attention to the word of warning. How about if we read verses 28? Okay. Chapter 11 of verse 28. But let a man prove himself, and in this way let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. But he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not discern the body. Amen. Lord Jesus. You know, not too many people like to share on the word of warning. We all like to share all the positive things, but it's these words of warning that brings us to the healthy teaching. We have to prove ourselves and discern the body at the Lord's table. Now, what does that mean? We have to discern whether the bread on the table signifies the unique body of Christ. Okay, so this is one significance, the only significance of the bread on the table, that it signifies the unique body of Christ.
Yeah.
It does not signify a sect, a division, or a denomination. So saints, I hope you can write this down, because this is so crucial to our discernment. We need to be so absolutely clear that the bread and the wine that we are about to partake is the bread and wine that signifies the unique body of Christ.
Amen.
Okay. This is why we can take the Lord's table only in the local churches. We cannot partake of the so-called communion in other places, because that bread on the table does not signify the body, but a division. Whenever we go to a place to attend the Lord's table, we must prove to ourselves that the bread on the table really signifies the Lord's body without any division. Without any division simply means that we are in fellowship with all the churches in the whole recovery throughout the whole world. Okay. Now, I need to be very careful concerning this section of the word. That's why I don't dare explain or expound too much. I will simply read the word to you, meaning the scripture, and read the open and interpreted ministry to you. Okay. Then, the second point there in point B, is not eating the bread and drinking the cup unworthily. In 1 Corinthians 11:27, we are warned not to eat the bread and drink the cup in an unworthy manner. If you are in a division, you still eat the bread and drink the cup. That means you are eating and drinking unworthily. According to 1 Corinthians 11, there was a kind of looseness and lightness among the saints in Corinth. Everyone behaved according to his likes or dislikes. The divisions and parties among them spoiled the Lord's table. This shows that if we take the Lord's table with a divisive spirit, we are partaking of it in an unworthy manner. We should not partake of the Lord's table in a light, loose, or careless way. Praise the Lord for the oneness of the body of Christ.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus has only one body.
Amen.
And this body is expressed throughout the whole world in all the different local churches. Okay, then we come to point C. For the worse, if meeting with divisions. Now, for this part, we need to go to verses 17 and 18 of chapter 11. Okay, how about let's read it together. But I give you this charge, and do not praise you, because you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that divisions exist among you, and some part of it I believe. Okay, actually, verse 19, we should read that. For there must even be parties among you, that those who are approved become manifest among you. Division is a gross sin before the eyes of God, because it breaks up the body of Christ. It damages the oneness of the body of Christ. So here we need to see the gravity, the seriousness of division. Okay? For the better means that our gathering must be for a profit. For the worse must mean that our gathering is for a loss. We want to be gathered for a profit. And the profit here is not just your own profit, your material profit, but the profit concerning the building up of the body of Christ.
Amen.
The profit concerning the kingdom of God for its spread, for its increase. For the better means for a profit. Every time we come together, we need to pray to the Lord. Lord, our gathering here is for a profit.
Amen.
For your interest here on earth.
Amen.
It is not a profit but a loss if we take the Lord's table in division. Okay, then the last point is, this word of warning is, praise the Lord, is the Lord's chastening of us. It's not his discipline, his condemnation to us. Okay, now what does that mean? Let's read verse 30 to 34 of chapter 11. Okay, let's read it together with a strong spirit. Because of this, many of you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we discern ourselves, we should not be judged. But being judged by the Lord, we are disciplined that we may not be condemned with the world. My brothers, amen. Amen. You know, saints, we need to see that if we do not take heed to this word of warning, some of us may become weak, even physically. Some may become sick or even suffer a physical death. And yet we need to see that all of these is not our losing of our salvation, but rather it's the Lord's discipline. Just like a father loves his children, and he is there to chastise his children so that they will not suffer the penalty or the punishment that will come in the kingdom. Okay? Now, we need to remember the focus of our fellowship in this message. And I'd like to bring you back to the beginning of the outline. The focus is that the real significance of the Lord, again, let's read it together, is to receive and enjoy Him as our life supply by eating and drinking Him and by sharing Him one with another in the fellowship of His body. And then just before we end, I'd just like to remind you concerning how do we prepare ourselves every Lord's Day when we come to the table meeting. Yeah. I think in all the churches, this is something so desperately needed, right? Many times we come to the table meeting and we go home, we are not satisfied, and I'm sure the Lord is not satisfied. So maybe after hearing all these things, you know, we don't want to scare you away, but rather we want to inspire you to have a much better Lord's table week after week, okay? We should come to the Lord's table meeting in a recovered way, not in a religious way. Now, what does that mean? First of all, we need to love the Lord.
Amen.
We need to love the Lord so we come to the meetings.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, dear saints, do you love the Lord this morning?
Amen.
Oh, I just, every time I'm with the saints, I just feel that the Lord is so fresh to me.
Amen.
Okay. Then we need to come in newness of life.
Right.
We should not come in our oldness.
Amen.
We should put on the new man.
Amen.
In newness of life. Then three, we need to have a voice of joy and praise. Our mouth is for praising Him. Our mouth is not for speaking gossips, but is to praise the Lord.
Amen.
So later on, we have an hour of mutuality. Everybody can open your mouth to praise the Lord. Many times the leading brother said, let's pray two by two. You know, let's not think that that's just a routine. No, that is so that everyone, no one is exempted, okay, that would have a chance to open them out to praise the Lord. If you are a father, you have three children, it would be a concern to you if your child never speaks, right? Oh, you would be very concerned, right? I think the Lord would be so happy, so joyful to see all of the mouths of the babes and the sucklings opening up to praise Him, to acknowledge Him. Then four, with thanksgiving and praise. Oh, there are so many things that we can be thankful for. Even the fact that we could be seated here this morning with a breath of life is something for us to be thankful for. The fact that I can walk straight is something that I can be thankful for. These days I have lower back pain. Oh, Lord Jesus, to be able to stand here and minister without any pain, that is something to be thankful for.
Amen.
And then we need to come with some offerings, not just material offerings, but our praises to the Lord, our worship of the Father. This is like presenting our offerings, you know, to Christ, to the Lord. And the best offering is offer our experiences of Christ.
Amen.
Oh, He is the best offering to God the Father.
Amen.
Then number six, oh Lord Jesus, I'm always the one to say this, but you may not like to hear it. We need to come being punctual. We need to come on time, if not early. If we come late, oh, the whole meeting will be affected, right? Being punctual. Then number seven, coming to the front, meaning to say we sit from the front to the back, not from the back to the front. Okay. The order of the meeting will affect the atmosphere of the meeting. Coming to the front to take care of the meeting as fighting soldiers to conquer the enemy, as prepared athletes to win the game. You know, the Winter Olympics is about to start again. Lord, what about Canada? We want to win some games. We want to bring home some medals for the country. We have to have the same feeling. Lord, we are here to fight against your enemy.
Amen.
Then number eight, standing against our natural disposition.
Amen.
You know, our disposition is like to sit at the back. My disposition is not, I don't want to open my mouth. We should not forget about our week's failures. As soon as we enter into the door, we need to be in our mingled spirit, leaving ourselves with all emotional feelings outside the door, exercising our spirit to sense the Lord and to praise and thank the Lord. You see, saints, if we come in this way, oh, I'm sure every week the Lord's table will become our inspiration to go on for another week, right? Don't we need such inspiration? Oh, we need such encouragement for us to continue to run the race in our Christian race. Praise the Lord.